We're going into the book of Acts today, chapter 1, and I'm going to start reading in verse 18. It says, "Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out, and it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem. So that field is called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood." If you tend to watch Better Way at the beginning of the workday, this passage might seem like a pretty grim way to start things off. But it makes a really important point, and if you catch it, it can help you finish this day in a deeply satisfying way. These verses come from a speech that Peter is making as they're waiting for the descent of the Holy Spirit. And if you didn't already catch it, he's talking about Judas and his untimely demise. Now, what I want you to notice in this passage is what it says about the money Judas got for betraying Jesus to the Sanhedrin. We know from the gospel accounts that Judas got 30 pieces of silver, but here, Peter calls it the wages of iniquity. In some other translations of the Bible, it's actually called the reward of iniquity. Even in the mind of an apostle, there's no question that sin has a reward. In fact, Judas came away from the transaction with enough money to buy a field. And real estate's always a good long-term investment, right? Well, under normal circumstances, yes. But in the case of Judas, the money or the field isn't the real reward. What he ultimately purchased was the field of blood, because the wages of sin is death. You'll notice that when Judas started to realize what he had done, he tried to give the money back to the Sanhedrin, but they didn't want it. The money itself had become utterly worthless, and Judas was left with no way to purge himself of the horrific guilt that was tormenting his every waking moment. The bank account was full, but the moral account of his soul was empty, and the story of Judas should tell us which account is ultimately more valuable. Today, as you face the list of decisions you're going to have to make before you climb into bed tonight, you're going to have a number of moral choices laid out in front of you. Invariably, there will be decisions that are good for your bank account, but the question you need to ask is whether or not they're going to cost you a withdrawal from your heart's moral account. You might make the right deal financially, or you might make a choice to keep yourself more comfortable or to avoid an uncomfortable confrontation. But if you can't live with yourself a year from now because of it, you're going to find both accounts are actually empty, because the benefits become worthless without the applause of heaven. Really, Judas might well have made a great decision financially and politically. If he was trying to force Jesus into a position where he would finally take the throne of Israel, or he was trying to build the treasury knowing that Jesus could summon a miracle to turn things around, it made really good sense. But it wouldn't have the smile of God. And at the end of the day, that's the only thing that counts. So before you make that decision and try to cash in on the rewards of iniquity, remind yourself what the rewards are going to look like in 24 hours, or in a month, or in a year. I guarantee you're going to find that's just a better way to live.